Where do we see God at work in the world? How can we know more about him? And how can our lives be shaped by him? Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Coleman, Associate Pastor at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. As a community of faith, this is what we are passionate about: people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in his mission to renew everything in Jesus. This week, in the second to last message from our series, Songs of the People, Roxanne Lawler invites us to explore Psalm 19 and discover what it means to know God and have our lives shaped by him.
Our Bible reading is from Psalm chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Hi, church. It's great to be with you here today as we look at Psalm 19. Now, this is part of our series that we're doing in the Psalms called Songs of the People. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that the Psalms are actually songs. But when I remember their songs and they're actually lyrics, it really just helps me engage in them a little bit more. And so for today, as we go through Psalm 19, I want to phrase up the Psalm as though it were a song. And if this was a song, it would start out just like canons and like the end of a song. There's no crescendo in this. There's no build up. It just starts loud and massive, this music. And it would then taper down into this beautiful, fast melody until it got to the end of the song where it was just really quiet and reflective and beautiful piece, and the last note of music in this song would be just one solitary note. So I think that's how the music would go. Now, if you were drawing this, if you're an arty type person, you might draw this as like a tornado, giant, big, swirling mass that reaches the sky and it funnels right down to a tiny point where the tornado touches the earth. If you're a shapes person, let me tell you that this psalm would be the shape of a funnel, okay? Now, I don't want to alienate the words people out there by just talking about arty stuff. So if you're a words person and you're taking notes, and let me encourage you to take notes, because when you take notes in church during a sermon, then that is really a great way to allow God to speak to you. So if you're a words person, I have four words that I'm going to be talking about. And the words are word, words, word, words. So they're going to be word, 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 word. It doesn't sound very clear at this point, but track with me because I promise that clarity is ahead. So let's start with the music. Let's start with the big start of the song. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens here are shouting, they're declaring, they're proclaiming, they're speaking. But the psalm goes on to say that they don't actually have any speech, they don't use words, but their voice goes out into all the earth. Now, this is a really strange thing that the psalm speaks. It's speaking about these heavens being loud, and they're talking, and they're saying something. What are they saying? We're going to find out. Now, I don't know about you, but I love looking at the stars. I just think stars are beautiful. I love looking at the moon when it's up. But when we live in Sydney, we go outside and we'd be hard-pressed even to just see the Southern Cross in Sydney, right? You can maybe make out Orion, the belt, or the saucepan, you might know it as. You can't really see the stars. Our stars kind of don't shout. They whisper. So if you want to really hear the voice of the stars, hear the heavens proclaim, you've got to get right out into the country. You've got to get out where there's nothing else to really see the stars. Or you might need to go to what's known as a dark sky national park. And we have one dark sky national park in New South Wales. It's the only one in the Southern Hemisphere. It's near Coonabarabran, where Siding Springs Observatory is. And the great thing about a dark sky national park is everything's on timers. There is no outside lights past a certain point. Every light that is in the town faces down. There is zero light pollution. There's no buildup. And so when you go to a dark sky national park, you can look up and see the stars, and they are using their outside voice. They are shouting and declaring, and you can't help but be amazed and impressed at what they're saying. But the psalm goes on, and it talks about the daytime too, and that God has pitched a tent for the sun, and he describes the sun as being like a bridegroom, a triumphant bridegroom post the wedding, just being stoked at life, and or an athlete running across, and nothing on earth is hidden from the warmth of the sun. It's this amazing picture of glory. Of God's beautiful creativeness. But the thing about the heavens and what they're saying is it's hard to understand what they're saying. And if, when we look at verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. That word God there in the Hebrew is El, E-L. You might have heard El Shaddai or Elohim, names of God, but this is the most generic name for God possible. Okay, it's just, you know, there were other gods, it's that same word, El. It'd be like you walking down the street and greeting somebody that you know and saying, "Hi human, how's it going? Homo sapien." It's a generic title, it's a label. And I think there's something in that, because when we look at the stars and we look at God, we can only know so much about God. Even though the stars and the sun are declaring, there's only so much we can know from that. Let me give you an example. You might have been to Florence and seen the statue of David, which is the most famous statue probably in the world. And you might know what it's made of and how high it is and when it was made. And you can look at that and you can realize this thing didn't just appear out of nowhere. Somebody sculpted it, someone made it, someone created it. You can look at it and go, there is a creator, a sculptor, a master who has made this. But just by looking at the David statue, it doesn't mean you know anything about the artist, apart from they're really, really good. You don't know anything about Michelangelo, who he was, where he lived. He could just as well be one of the Ninja Turtles, really. In that respect. So you don't, just by looking at the art doesn't mean you know the artist, but it means you know that the artist is there. And that's what the stars are saying. They're proclaiming the glory of God. And Paul takes this idea that the stars are telling people there is a creator. Paul takes this up in Romans chapter 1. And in Romans 1, he says that what God has made, physically made, has been made plain to the world. And he says this: since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, because being understood from what is made, people are without excuse. So Paul says, the heavens are declaring that there is a God. They are not themselves gods. There is a God, he made it, and that voice goes out into all the world to say that God made it. And the first word then is the wordless word. The wordless word. There's no sound coming from them, but they're saying something. So they're a wordless word for those taking notes. Theologians have a different name for this, for the created order. They call it general revelation, which sounds like someone who should be in the army, but it's not. It's more generic revelation. And the word revelation you might have read in the Bible, but it actually means to reveal something that was hidden, right? So general revelation reveals something about God. And what the heavens are declaring is God is amazing. He is good. He is beyond. And no person on earth has any excuse to not look up at the skies and acknowledge that there is a divine creator. Got lots of friends who are into New Age spirituality. Maybe you do too. People who might read the horoscopes or try to connect with the divine through, you know, yoga or whatever. Whatever their thing is. Because that's the human heart wants to get to connect with God. It wants to connect in with the divine. But it's not enough. You can't know God. God is El. He's just generic God. You can't know God through the wordless word. So the psalm then continues and we have a bit of a music shift. And this next word is how we get to know God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The writer starts talking about the law of God. The music changes. This is where the melody is fast and furious. And in the lyrics of this song, it's like the person writing this psalm has cracked into their Roget's thesaurus, right? They have just cracked in there and they're like, how am I going to describe the law of God? How am I going to describe the law? So they describe it in three ways. They talk about aspects of the law, what they like and what they do. And they say the law of God, it's the laws of God, the statutes of God, the precepts of God, the commands of God, the fear of the Lord, the decrees of the Lord. All of those are amazing. And they talk about what they do. And the law of the Lord, it's perfect. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commands of the Lord are radiant. The fear of the Lord is pure. The decrees of the Lord are firm. So there's massive benefit to it. And what those things done that the Lord has written in his law makes a difference in our lives. And there are benefits. They refresh the soul. They're trustworthy. They make wise the simple. They give joy to the heart. They give light to the eyes. They endure forever and they're righteous. And what's interesting about this next part of the song is God's name has changed. We're no longer talking about God, E-L. We're talking about the Lord. And when you're reading your Bible, when you have a look in the Old Testament, whenever it talks about the Lord and L-O-R-D is capitalized, that is actually where the Hebrew uses the name of God, which is Yahweh, the I Am, Yahweh. So that's where we have the Lord. And so when the Lord speaks, it's almost like what is revealed is different. So in the wordless word, the stars, that's general revelation. We can know that there is a God, but we don't know much about him. But when we get down to the law, that becomes the written word of God, the written word, the law. And theologians have a different name for this. They call this special revelation because it reveals who God is. It's like we can look not just at the art, but we're looking at the artist. And Israel was able to look at this and know how to worship God, how to please God, how to live with God at the center, how we can live lives fully devoted to the Lord. So if I could use this another art term, this would be a little bit more like, rather than a sculpture that an artist has done, this would be a little bit more like a self-portrait in some respects. It's a metaphor. Don't go too far with that because I know the whole graven image thing. You might have read that. But if you know what I mean, it's a self-portrait of God. We can see who God is through the law, and that's special revelation. Now, the psalm continues and keeps going, and here the music changes yet again, and we've got our third word because the psalm changes, and this is where if the tornado was really starting to touch earth or the end of the funnel is coming down, and we're getting really, really introspective. Maybe there's a key change in the song. We have a really good look at ourselves. And here we have the worshipper's word. And at the end of the psalm, you'll say, may these words of my mouth, you'll see that. May the words of my mouth. So this is the worshipper's word. And the worshippers had a look at the glory of the skies, and they've had a look at the written word. And now they're having a good look at their hearts, and they're recognizing that even though they're a created being, there's things going on in their hearts that they need to be concerned about. Verse 12 says, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from willful sins. And I want to be blameless, God, and innocent of great transgression. And what is revealed here is not actually more of God, but what is revealed is the condition of the human heart. And like the worshipper or the songwriter here, you and I all have things that we know we've done wrong. We know what our sins are, but the songwriter is actually saying there's things in me that I don't even know are there. There's sins, there's hurt, there's trauma, there's brokenness in me. I don't even know it's there. How can I even discern it? And it's like if we had a broken bone and it's painful and it's sore. The only way we can discern that is to get an x-ray to know what's really there for sure. Or if, say, we might think we've got a tumour, the only way we can really discern that and figure that out is by a CT scan. And so the songwriter is saying, God, x-ray me, CT scan me, find out what's in me. I can't figure it out. I don't know what my hidden faults are. Make it clear. Make what is hidden revealed to you. Because God, I want to live your way. And he recognizes through his word that God is more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. And he knows there's great benefits by following God's word, by allowing God to take what was hidden and open him and have him washed anew. So if we've gone from general revelation down to special revelation, and then we've had the revelation of what's hidden in the human heart, that's the end of the psalm, and that's the kind of the worshipper's word. But church, I want to say that that's not really the end of the story, because there is one more. As I said, there was four words. There's one more word. And I want to ask you to look at this psalm with me through the lens of Jesus. I want to ask you to look at this psalm with me through a post-Calvary, post-Jesus death, resurrection and ascension lens. Because God wasn't satisfied with being El, the unknown God that everyone kind of knows as a creator. And he wasn't just satisfied with the written word, the revelation of scripture. God actually wanted us to know him. So he sent the full revelation, the full image, the full picture of himself to earth in the person of Jesus, who is the Word. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And it says the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And church, that's the full picture. That's the full revelation of God. When Jesus' disciples came to him in John 14 and they said, show us the Father, Jesus responded and said this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says that Christ, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Church, we can get to know that God who the heavens declare all. We can get to know him, not just through his word, but we can get to know him because he came down to this earth and walked around as a man with skin on. And that is the full and complete picture of God. It's not a picture on the wall. It's the real thing that we can get to know. So church, I want to rewind this song and look at this psalm again through the lens of Christ, through what we know about the full revelation of God. Because the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the skies are proclaiming something. Let me tell you that Jesus is the bright morning star. He is the brightest star in the sky, says Revelation. the Son, Jesus has said that he is the light of all the world. The bridegroom that comes out, well, Jesus is the bridegroom because he's going to, at the end of the world, be with his church, who is the bride. The laws that are so wonderful and beneficial, Jesus was the only person who kept these laws, who stayed true and faithful to God with no sin in him. And discerning their own errors, Jesus sees through to our human hearts. He sees our broken places. He sees our hurts, our pains, our sins, those we have sinned against others. And he wants to make us blameless and innocent of great transgression, as the psalm says. And that's the full revelation of God. And when at the very end of this psalm, at the very quiet point, when the psalmist says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and redeemer." Well, Jesus Christ is that rock. He is the solid ground on which we stand. He is the faithful one, and he is our redeemer. He is the one who has brought us back. He has rescued us. So church, if like the songwriter, you're looking at your heart and the revelation of your heart contains things which you're not happy with, which you've got brokenness in you, you don't know what is in you, you can't discern your own errors, let me say that Jesus is here because Jesus wants to be the one who takes those away from you so that you can be innocent of great transgression and you can stand in your relationship with him as rock and redeemer. That's what he wants. Because church, like the psalmist says, it's more precious than gold and it's sweeter than honey. Gold, rich, honey, sweet. And that's what Jesus wants for you. Like my friends who look at the stars, they don't know God, but we can know God through Jesus. We can't come to God because of our sins, but through Jesus, he makes us able to come to God, to know God fully. So church, I've got three final things I want to say. Just three things. We've heard the wordless word, we've heard the written word, we've heard the worshipper's word, and we've heard the word of God, which is, of course, Jesus. And if you're maybe a Christian out there and you're feeling like God's not close like Jesus, that maybe God's a little bit far away, like me trying to stargaze in Sydney, you know, you can just kind of get a picture of God, you can maybe pick out some things. Can I suggest to you that maybe if God seems far away and you're not able to hear what he has to say to you, but maybe you need some sort of spiritual dark sky national park. Because when we listen to God, where we want to open our hearts up to what God is saying to us, we need to turn down all the distractions and the noise. We need everybody to be quiet except for Jesus. We need to stop double screening and start listening in and go somewhere and prepare a space somewhere where God can really speak to us so that we can be close and know him fully. You might be somebody that has just happened upon this podcast and you're interested in this Jesus and you don't have a life which is gold, rich and honey sweet, and you are aware that there's brokenness and pain in you, and you've heard about this Jesus a couple of times. Let me encourage you to keep finding out about Jesus. Jesus is worth it. He is beautiful and he is worth getting to know. So if you've got a Bible, there's one there on the screen, start reading. Start reading the book of Mark in the New Testament. It's nice and short and you can get to know that very Jesus. But you might be somebody as well who you've heard about Jesus for a little while, you've maybe checked out church a little bit, you've seen the things that Jesus has done in the lives of those around you, and you've seen people who do walk with that spiritual connection, who are able to listen to the voice of God, and you're thinking, yeah, this is what I want. I don't have a life which is honey sweet and gold rich. I do have things in my life that I need to get rid of. I don't know God. Let me encourage you that today is your day, that you can say to this Jesus through the words of your mouth. You can say to this Jesus, "I need you, Jesus. I need you as my rock and I need you as my redeemer." So if that's you today, what I'm going to do is pray with you. Wherever you are, no matter what you're doing, you don't have to even close your eyes. You don't have to speak out loud if you don't want to, although feel free if it's suitable. As I pray, I'm going to lead you in a prayer so that you can get to know Jesus and invite him into your life so that you can really truly know that God who created the heavens, the God of who we're speaking. So if you're just watching this at home, why don't you pray that anyway? And as I pray for somebody that you might know in your life who doesn't know Jesus, why don't you spend this time just lifting them up before the Lord and asking that in the revelation that he does, the general revelation, the specific revelation, that God would reveal, give them a revelation of who Jesus is. So church, will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the fullness of God. Thank you that we can see God through his beautiful creation, we can see him through his word, but most of all that we can see him through you. And thank you that you came to this earth so we can know you and love you and be loved by you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, for taking away my sin, for making a way so that I can get to know God. And God, I want that for myself. I want that life which is just rich gold, honey sweet, God. I want a life where all my transgressions are taken away, where you heal the hidden and secret parts of me and make me more like you. So Jesus, will you come into my life as my Lord and my Savior, as my rock, the solid rock on which I stand, and my Redeemer who has rescued me, so that I can be with you forever and that I can know you on this earth. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, church.
Creation invites us to discover that the world was made by God. God's laws help us to understand more about God. We can invite God to help us discover more about ourselves. And extraordinarily, we can actually know God himself through the person of Jesus. Perhaps you need to visit a physical or metaphorical dark sky national park this week and make space to discover that God is nearer than you think. This might be something you've done before, or perhaps it's for the very first time. Whatever stage you're at in your journey following Jesus, this psalm invites us to recognize that the Lord is our rock and our Redeemer. Jesus is inviting us to know God, to walk in relationship with him, and to know that God can be trusted whatever we face. We'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at gymeabaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's renewing work in Jesus. God bless.